everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's August 2023, and you're listening to episode 351, which is a conversation about college students and church attendance. Today's guest is Luke Engstrom. He is a college student, and he attends a Christian university. Luke has written a Postmodern Realities column article for the print edition of the Christian Research Journal. Postmodern Realities is a column that's written primarily, but not exclusively, by younger authors ages 18 to 40, people who are in the millennial and Gen Z generations. And all of these authors writing for this column address relevant issues primarily, but not exclusively, to members of these generations regarding Christian apologetics and theology and Christian living and spiritual formation issues. Luke's article is called Advice from a College Student, Go to Church. You can read his article in the very last print edition of the Christian Research Journal for your partner and gift, which you can make at our website, equip.org. Luke, it's good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, we are publishing an article by Luke, who is a college student, and he actually had this article published. He won a contest online, and we saw it and we liked it. And so we wanted to also reprint it in our print magazine. And so this is really interesting because normally we don't have students talking about the value of attending church, but rather either pastors or professors or lay people, adults, you know. And we just really want to get a student's perspective about what it means to be connected to the local church. And I think this is really important because Luke is a current college student and he's somebody in the Gen Z's generation. So I just want to ask him from his point of view, what would you say if someone is asking another student, like, what is the church? Why bother?
Yeah, I'd say that the church, as we understand it throughout Scripture and in the New Testament, is really just simply the body of believers, both globally and locally, that we're a part of, you know, united through Christ, the body of believers. And so we want to oppose the notion that the church is just a church building or kind of this building that we see on the side of the street, or maybe some people worship in a school or some sort of building. It's more than just a building. However, it doesn't mean when we think of the church that it's less than this church building. I see in fellow college students, and maybe perhaps in the evangelical world as a whole, kind of this desire to forsake the church on Sunday morning, to forsake the building itself because it's maybe cooler or more spiritual, or they desire to kind of have a casual Jesus and them relationship. So the church is the building that we worship in on the Sunday morning, the assembly that we participate in, that we serve in, that where we hear the word preached. But it's also more than that. It's the church global. We think of the body of believers that's uniting us together. And I think even your column, the Postmodern Realities podcast, I think one of the realities of being in a postmodern cultural context is that kind of forsaking any form of institutionalized religion is cool or is better. Now, of course, the Christian faith and our relationship is with Jesus is bigger than something institutionalized, but it's not less. So we want to appreciate the value of Sunday mornings, of when we gather together as a church body, that is the body of believers. We're called to have elders, we're called to have deacons, we're called to have pastor, all these different things, the preaching of the word, the sacraments, all these different things that makes a church a church.
So I just want to go all the way back and ask you a little bit about your own family. So did your parents influence you in your life in terms of attending church worship services? And how would you encourage parents to cultivate in their kids a love for the church?
Yes. So I'm very blessed to have what I call a boring testimony. Probably need to come up with a better word for that because it's not really boring. but a boring testimony in the sense that I really have never known a day where I haven't known Christ. And that's largely due to the influence of my parents, who actually met at the church that I'm still a member at back home. They met there over 20 years ago. And from when I was born, they're instilling these rhythms of church. So every Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning worship, evening worship on Sunday nights, Wednesday night youth group, throughout the week, anytime we would have a chance to maybe invite a family over or go to another family's house for dinner, all these kind of church community, church rhythms. So I think in terms of parents wanting to influence their children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I think that just the best way they can do that is simply bring their kids to church. And that sounds simple, but it's, you know, we're all influenced by rhythms. And I think if we were wanting to get to a place where going to church and participating with local believers is somewhat of a second, it's somewhat of a first thought, in the sense that we don't even have to think twice about that, then they can just bring their kids to church, just like you maybe would school. You know, most people don't think school's optional, or if you're on a sports team, like you go to your sports practices, you eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. You know, all these rhythms as part of our life. If we skipped a meal, we'd be hungry. We'd be wondering where's our food. And so how much more do we need our spiritual food? Do we need to be worshiping with the local saints, to be worshiping God with one another? And I think parents, you don't have to be discouraged if you're not the smartest person in the world, if you don't have a PhD, if you don't know a lot of theology. Knowing theology is good. Knowing God more is good. But going to church doesn't really require those things. You know, families, parents can bring their kids to church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, when they're on vacation, if they could look for a local church. And by doing that, they're setting an example. They're reminding their children what's really important. We all know what's important about one another. If I'm talking about soccer, then someone will know I'm a soccer player, or I enjoy sports. If someone enjoys talking about what they're reading, well, they love books, music, so on. And if parents can get themselves to talk about the church, to go to church, to make sure that their children are following them, they're leading well. All these rhythms kind of help us designate what's most important in life. One story I can think of is my family and I were on vacation in Canada, Northeast Canada. It was probably seven, 8 years ago at this point. And we were in the middle of absolutely nowhere. There was no local church within, you know, a couple hundred, maybe 100 miles. And I remember my parents said Saturday night, I wasn't sure what we were going to do for church the next day. And on Saturday night, my parents said, "Hey, we looked up this church." Perks of, you know, of technology and the internet. We can look up church, good local Bible believing gospel preaching churches wherever we are. And they said, "We're going to look up this church. We found this church. We're going to drive whatever it was, an hour and a half, 2 hours to this church." So we did. That Sunday morning, we drove an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was. We worshiped with the local believers there. We heard a gospel proclaiming sermon, and then we drove back to where we were and enjoyed the rest of the week there. So I think that even small story has stuck in my mind. Like my parents, we could have stayed home and kind of, you know, talked with one another about Jesus, sung a few worship songs, which is great, which we need to do, which would have been uplifting. But I think just my parents have this rhythm installed in them of going to church and how important that is. And of course, it's more important than rhythms. We don't want to kind of simply go through the motions. But at the same time, it's probably not less than rhythms. We want to cultivate those rhythms. So church, going, you know, wondering what we're going to do on a Sunday morning isn't, "Oh, I wonder, what are we going to, sleep in and watch NFL today? What are we going to do today?" No, it's like, we're going to go to church.
You just mentioned sports in passing. And I was wondering, as parents, that's a big, huge question that a lot of parents, at least in the West, have, because a lot of sports practices and games and so forth are on Sundays. Now, I know your family was involved in sports that you mentioned in the article. So What was it like if there was a conflict between games on Sunday and attending church?
Yeah, so my family loves sports. There's no doubt about that. I love sports. And so that might have been the biggest struggle in terms of, oh, I don't want to go to church. I'd like to go to my soccer game, or I'd like to play baseball right now. And I think my parents had struggled with that. My teammates and their parents were always wondering kind of where was I on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.? Like, why couldn't I go to my championship soccer game? Like, this is really important. Even when we were probably 12, 13, 14, this is super important. And it was, I think soccer is important, but I think the witness that my parents and I were able to have, and even my younger siblings and I, as they kind of tried to navigate the world of sports and church, the witness was clear that we were Sunday morning, we were going to be in church. And I think that gave us gospel opportunities then to our teammates, to my teammates, to the parents of my teammates. You know, where is Luke? Where are my siblings? Well, on Sunday mornings, we're going to be in church. And when we would travel, it would change a little bit. My dad would have a devotional time with the team if it happened when we were traveling. And there was, we couldn't make church, and we were at a tournament somewhere else. But I think the priority that my parents placed on church was a great gospel witness for my teammates and me, really, as well.
As I mentioned, if you would like to read Luke Engstrom's article, please partner with us for this very special final issue of the journal, which is actually a double size. It is chock full of all kinds of articles, including the one that Luke has written for college students. And you can do that by heading over to equip.org. And if you go to journal, you will see different categories and you click on support. It will take you right there to our special double themed issue. And this is going to be a collector's item because it is our last print issue ever after 45 years plus. And so we're not taking any new subscriptions. We are going totally to an online magazine. So not only will you receive the special double issue straight to your door in the mail when you partner with us with a partnering gift, but your gift helps us to continue to bring you all these great articles and interviews on the Postmodern Realities podcast that we have every week. So while the online magazine will be free, we don't have our writers write for free. We believe that all the research that they do and the work that they put into making these in-depth articles is worth us compensating them. So you will help us to continue to bring the thoughtful research that you have relied on for decades from the Christian Research Journal to the world, and our audience is everyone now on the web. So thank you for your partnering gift for this very special issue. And now back to my conversation with college student Luke Engstrom. Well, we were just talking about your parents' influence. So, you know, you did grow up in a Christian home, and I actually like the fact that you have a boring testimony. I think a lot of parents out there would be excited to hear that. But of course, I mentioned you're a college student. So how does college cause you to shift in church attendance? It does for a lot of students. It seems like the statistics show that a lot of kids will abandon their faith that they grew up in when they go to college. So how can going to church, you know, be something that you make a priority in college? Because I think that's something that Christian parents are hoping for. And I know one thing that happens a lot of times at universities is, of course, no matter what particular tradition you're from, every tradition has a college ministry. You know, there's a Baptist union, there's, you know, the Roman Catholic, they have a meeting, a group, a college ministry, so does Eastern Orthodox and all kinds of different Protestant denominations. So a lot of kids get involved in that. That's what I did when I was in college. I got really involved in a parachurch college ministry. And as a matter of fact, after college, went on staff with that ministry. So you start really connecting to all the students in that. So help us think through as a student what you think about kids getting involved in college ministry. And also just, it's your first Sunday at college. I mean, you know, you're free. Your parents aren't there. They're not making you go to church. Why even go?
Yeah, that I think that first Sunday in college might be the most important Sunday, might be the most important really day of college, just because of what rhythms and teach us about life. If we're going to get up that first Sunday morning and go to church when maybe our roommate, when maybe our floor mates don't want to, maybe when all they want to do is, at least where I go in the central time zone, sleep till noon and then watch NFL, which might sound great sometimes, especially if Saturday night you were hanging out with friends or you were playing board games or whatnot until the wee hours of the morning. But that first Sunday is so important to say, hey, this Sunday morning at minimum is the time that I'm going to set apart. I'm going to set apart to worship God. And, you know, God doesn't take a rest on us throughout the week. He is always with us. He's always present. And so why should we take a rest on God? Why should we at minimum give him an hour, 2 hours of our week of Sunday to give to him? And so that first Sunday is so crucial. And then thinking about more along the lines of college ministry, I would say I encourage all my friends, and if any college student is listening to this, I would say, please, like, get involved in the college ministry. That is so important. There are ways of being discipled in the college ministry that really, really you can't get throughout any other stage of life. And I think college is such a crucial time for having conversations that, again, you might not be able to have time for the rest of your life when it's late at night and you've just finished all your homework and everyone else is asleep and you're with your roommate talking about the things of the Lord. That's a unique, really, I think, a unique opportunity. And so college ministry has the opportunities to disciple, has opportunities to do campus ministry, all these different avenues. But at the same time, I would caution students in saying the college ministry is my form of church. I do this Bible study on Tuesday night, or let's say I have this large group on Thursday, and so I'm good to go. I'm good to go on Sunday, or I don't need to get involved in a church small group. You know, I've already got my group of people. And I would just say, you're missing out really on the joy there is in being involved in this intergenerational community that is your local church. And you're missing out on what Jesus commands us and what God commands us to not forsake the meeting of the brethren. And then I would also just have us remember that Jesus promises to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so often are we tempted to think that the parachurch ministry or our small group will stand forever. And I would just caution us in saying that's not what Jesus promises to build his church on. He promises to build his ministry on. He promises to build it on the church. And the primary means of discipleship, as we see throughout really the whole New Testament, is that local church. So I would say to a college student, I encourage you that very first Sunday, try out a good local church that preaches the Bible, that is gospel proclaiming, that is Jesus-centered, and don't forsake the meeting of the brethren at church. Even as good as your college ministry and as edifying to your life that your college ministry may be.
So I also want to ask you a little bit just about how people see their walk with God, because I know this is true not just for students, but for adults. In fact, I see this on our YouTube channel all the time. When we put up posts about the church, people will be like, well, I just think that my local church is full of hypocrites, and I also just need Jesus. That's what I need. I have good, you know, instead of going to church where I have to interact with people that I'm not really connected to, or I don't really find much in common with, I just have my own, you know, personal quiet times with Jesus, and that's good enough. So is it good enough to just be having your, you know, dedicated Bible reading time yourself and not go to church?
No, I would say in short, no. And I think personal quiet time is, as we all know, is one of the best ways to worship God, to learn more about him. There's things that we can do in with quiet time, perhaps in the morning or in the evening, that few other things can replicate. You know, we talk to God without maybe the distractions of others. If we're waking up early in the morning, we're having this personal quiet time. It's a Jesus and me relationship, and that's really important. That's one of the best things we can do as a Christian is set a time in the morning to worship God. But when we just do that, when we kind of forget about the local church, we're really just missing out on this public worship. You know, the Christian life is a communal life, and we can't, all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, all throughout the Bible, it's clear when the church understands themselves, they don't understand themselves as just individuals. Like they are individuals. We are all people that have to be personally accountable to God. Yes, but it's so much more than that. Where the church is about worshiping God together, about bearing each other's burdens. And it's hard to carry, you know, another person's burden or learn from them when we're only in quiet time together. It's hard to not nix personal quiet time. We need it. It's good. We need to be with just ourselves and God, but it can't replace many voices singing together in church. It can't replace seeing people together, worshiping together. One of the pastors, now retired, the pastor, former senior pastor of the church I grew up at, I remember he once said after coming back to the church after being retired, that he would often come in through the week exhausted, and he was weary, and he was doing the church ministry. He was serving the Lord, and he was tired, and he was maybe burnt out. And he would come in on Sunday mornings sometimes if he was weary that week, and he'd still be weary sitting up near the pulpit. And before the sermon started, we would sing hymns. And he says that those hymns just sometimes when he was super down, uplifted him so much and caused him to be joyful in the Lord. And that's hard to do. That kind of experience is very hard to do if we're just, you know, personal quiet time between me and Jesus. The other thing is Jesus commands us to love his church. You know, the church is his bride. And if we want to love Jesus, we ought to be about the things of Jesus. We ought to love what Jesus cares about. And one of the things he cares about the most, probably maybe even the most, is the church, his bride. And so if we want Jesus, we need to have the church as well.
That's such a good point. You know, there's so many places in the New Testament that calls Christian to one another, you know, other members of the church. And I don't think you can do that just by yourself. If we're to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn, or care for one another, or sing with one another, you know, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, says that in Ephesians, or we're supposed to bear with one another and comfort each other and encourage one another. There's just so many one anothering verses in the New Testament that you couldn't do that by yourself. Well, the other thing I was wondering is, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is what would you say to those students that say, you know, I've visited a whole bunch of churches, but I don't know, they don't remind me of my church back home, or I don't kind of like the students that are going to that church, and I just don't feel like I've found a church that fits me. What would you say to them? So therefore, I just would rather just go to my campus ministry, or just, you know, have my quiet time.
Yeah, that's something I hear from my friends a lot. And I just tell them, every time, the church isn't perfect. It is Christ's bride, but it's not perfect. Why is it not perfect? Because there's people in it, and people are sinful. And if my pastor back home always says, if you're looking for a perfect church, well then, and you find it, don't go to it, because then you're going to mess it up. So I think I would just caution us in remembering that just like any other gathering, any other community, it's full of imperfect people. We're all sinful people. And so if we're looking for a sinless church, or a church that we connect with 100%, well, we might not find one, and that's okay. And I would say to a freshman, a college freshman, for instance, who's thinking, where do I go to church, or I want to find this great church, I got the advice my freshman year to do what he calls a 4x4. So college student, should be pretty easy to remember. Love Wendy's 4x4s, college fast food. Big thing, at least where I go to college, go to Wendy's late nights. Wendy's has a 4x4, so easy to remember. So 4x4 is saying, okay, we're going to take 1 month for the first 4 Sundays of college and visit 4 churches. And I think that would give you a good idea, 4 gospel-centered, Bible-believing churches, probably a pretty good idea of how these churches are, of do they preach the word, are there opportunities to serve, and whatnot. So that's 4 Sundays, and then 4x4, 4 years, and then pick one church after those 4 Sundays where you can stay for 4 years, where you can put your roots down, where you can really commit yourself to that church, serve that church the best you can, maybe become a member. Membership is one of the great things about being at a church, having accountability for yourself and for others. And so stay at that church for 4 years. And so I'd say to those students who are struggling, maybe it's been a year's gone by, 2 years have gone by, where do I go to church? What do I do? I can't find somewhere where that's perfect. I would say just commit to one, and you'll be, I think you'll be grateful after a few years of putting yourself out there, of serving in whatever arena you can, whether that's children's ministry or being a greeter and hope, you know, holding the door and greeting those who come in the church. Whatever your gifts are of laying your roots down, of saying, I'm going to commit to this church, no matter how imperfect it is and no matter how sinful I am, I'm going to lay my roots down. And what that does is it guards against that temptation of saying, I'm going to prefer to focus on my own personal relationship with Jesus. Well, no, Jesus calls us to do more than that. He calls us to be involved in this local church, no matter how messy it is. And then to those that are worrying they don't get along with other people, we're going to be in heaven for eternity for a long, long time, which is a long, long time, with those that maybe we don't agree with on every issue or that annoy us in some regards on this earth. So I would say just be loving, be gentle to those around you that don't agree with you on every issue, that you're not best friends with. And the encouragement is, we don't have to be best friends. We don't have to be best friends with everyone in the church. That's not what God calls us to, but he calls us to be gentle, to be loving, to be committed to a local church.
So what do you say to the student who just doesn't feel like going to church? I mean, I have said on this podcast, I still have one kid that is in college, and I've met up with, you know, run into other parents and students at like the parent weekend. And that's a question I asked to those Christian students, are you going to church? Mm. And a lot of them said, well, I haven't had time to, I'm really busy, or I can't get there, I don't have a ride, or, you know, I'm kind of a night owl. It's just too hard to get up in the morning. So what would you say to those kids that don't feel like going to church? And maybe you're a teen, maybe it's not even a college student, maybe it's a teenager. Like, I just do not want to go to church with my parents. It's just, I don't feel like it. How would you address those kids?
Yeah. So especially in college, that's a huge temptation. There are a lot of things we can do in college. And you mentioned before campus ministry. There's lots of, maybe in college than anywhere else, we can do more than we ever wanted to. And so I would just encourage people that we can do more than we ever wanted to, but one of the principal things we should do is commit ourselves to that local church. So what do I do if I don't feel like going to church? I would say, I would remind ourselves really of Matthew 6:21. It says, where your treasure is, their heart will be also. And so I think a lot of us try to get at the heart first, which really is, it's very important. You know, much of the Christian life is getting at the heart of dying to ourselves, of mortifying the flesh, of asking through the power of the Holy Spirit that we might love Jesus more. But the order that Matthew uses in that verse is very telling. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we think of it in reverse, where our heart is, if we feel like doing something, then we're going to, that'll be our treasure. Then we'll begin to value it. But Matthew says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we start by just going to church, if we start by making the church one of our great treasures, as, you know, it's one of Jesus's great treasures, it's his bride. So if we think of it as our treasure, we might be surprised if our heart actually follows it. And that's what the promise is. So I would say, if you're doubting, if you don't feel like going to church, the best thing you can do is wake yourself up, set an alarm, and go to church, no matter how hard it is. And I think of it like a spiritual discipline, like prayer and reading the Bible. It might not start by our exuberantly wanting and desiring to do this every day, but slowly but surely, if we put our a part of our treasure in that, if we start to treasure the local church, I think we'll begin to love it. And it's another way I think of it is just like spiritual muscles, just like working out. No one, even professional athletes, feel like working out every day or going on runs every day or going to practice every day. If you do, I'd love to meet you. But, you know, every once in a while, it so happens that, or even every other day, it's, I don't know if I can get through this practice. I don't know if I can go on this run. Working out today might be too hard. And it's really very similar in the Christian life. If we kind of build our spiritual muscles, in a sense, of training ourselves by the rhythms that we were talking about earlier. Okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church that first Sunday. I'm going to make that commitment, and then we'll see after that. Well, then I'm going to go to church that second Sunday. I'm going to go to church that third Sunday. And sooner or later, it might just be that you begin to love the local church. And so I would just remind ourselves of that verse: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then there's power, I might also say, in presence. There's power in presence. I think of, even in high school, my youth leaders, and they don't have PhDs. They're not, you know, they don't make millions of dollars a year. Maybe up by the world standards, they wouldn't say they're the next church leaders of the global church, but they showed up every Wednesday night when, you know, after they worked, after we went to school, they showed up every Wednesday night to lead us in Bible study, to lead us in loving us and being gentle towards us and showing us Christ. And I think that power of presence they did by just showing up most of the time, probably when they really didn't want to, when they wanted to go to bed early or be with their wives, be with their family members, they showed up. And so I think we never know the encouragement that we are to one another by just showing up. And so to the college student that's doubting, that doesn't feel like going to church, show up. And hopefully in a few Sundays, you'll start to love the church.
Oh, I like that. I like how you said it's a spiritual discipline. I hadn't thought of church attendance as being a spiritual discipline. And I'm sure all the adults can relate to what you said about working out, because anytime you talk to many parents about it, they're like, I'm so busy. You know, I'm helping my kids, or I'm doing this. I just can't get a workout, and I just don't have the time. But like you said, you know, if we need to do something for our health, then we would make it a priority. If we're not making it a priority, is it really a priority? Mm-hmm. So I really like that idea of a spiritual discipline. Well, I want to ask you about students at Christian universities, because I know that if you're a student at a religious university, you are required to go to chapel services. And I know, you know, it's in an actual church type of building, and students will say, hey, that's good. You know, I'm getting to know other students on campus, and it's hard for me to get to church on Sunday. And really, chapel is kind of a church service. So why couldn't that substitute by going to a local church off campus?
Yeah. So I'd say in chapel, we do get a lot of the same things, you might say, the same rhythms that are in church. We, at least where I go to school, we sing worship songs. We get the word taught, or you might even say preached in some way. We're with people that love the Lord. We're with Christians. So we're with, in some ways, the church. But I would caution college students, I would caution ourselves in saying we're the church. We're not. We college universities proclaim to be just that, to be college universities, to be places where perhaps the, you know, Christian college universities, where the gospel is proclaimed, but it is still a college campus. It's still for the purpose of educating people. It's not a church. It's not a church with elders and deacons and a pastor and the sacraments and this intergenerational bond. So I think when we replace the church with chapel, we miss out on getting to sit by, you know, a young family with five little kids, or a retired couple who's in their late 80s. We, you know, it's just the fact of the matter, we're with 18 to 22 year olds most of the week, which is great. It's fun. There's a lot of opportunities for discipleship there, but we're missing out on most of life. We're missing out on, you know, the baby that's crying in the back that demonstrates, you know, God's love for life. And we're missing out on getting to learn about maybe a retired missionary or even, you know, learn about the way a Christian businessman or a former math teacher loves his students or, you know, uses money for God's glory. So we're missing out on that intergenerational bond when we just focus on chapel as our primary means of discipleship or as our primary means of Christian worship, we might say. And I'd say even in my own life, I think back to last year, one Sunday school, can't remember exactly the subject of the Sunday school, but we had some dialogue, you know, in the middle of the lecture. And the dialogue, I think we went off track a little bit. And one of the parents were, a couple was super worried about where their kid was going to go to school the next year. Were they going to go to the public school that was teaching them this sort of thing? Or were they going to go to a private school where maybe they didn't have as much diversity, but it was better teaching? Were they going to be homeschooled where they don't have the same community, but maybe they have the opportunity to teach the most? Like all these issues that I, as a college student, don't even think about. Or I listen to a five, six-year-old and what they're dealing with, how their week was. Well, I'm not even thinking about them while I'm in college. So all that to say, in the church, we have this opportunity to learn from these other people that have these other issues, that have these other problems or praises, perhaps, that we might not even think about as college students, that aren't even on our radar because we're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds who have a pretty narrow-minded lens, even my own life. Like I probably, compared to most people, have a pretty narrow-minded lens by virtue of the fact I'm 20 years old. So I think being in church, being able to be discipled by older people and then going forth and discipling younger people or those around us is an opportunity that chapel services don't lend to, that all these great things, I might add, on a Christian college, you know, my Christian college soccer team, it's a great area of that edifies me, that helps me understand how to implement the gospel into sports. But it's not the church. It doesn't have this intergenerational bond, and God didn't promise to protect it for eternity.
One thing I'm wondering about is I was shooting the breeze with a student who was at my local church and he was home for a break. And I asked him about what church he attended where he went to university. And he said, well, kind of what we discussed, I haven't really found one I like, but what I do is I just stream all the services from, you know, our church, his home church. And so what about just streaming services? You know, I don't, it's harder to get a ride, or it would be hard to get the weather. It's cold or too hot or whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said, you know, it's just better because it feels like I'm just home at church. I'm used to the service and I like, you know, the pastor and the messages. So I'd just prefer to stream instead of going to find a local congregation near his university.
Yeah, I think especially in our age, we have, that's maybe one of the bigger questions we're dealing with. We have the opportunity to stream some of the greatest sermons, you know, that are going across the world, or all these means of Christian literature via technology. And I think those are great, and we should take advantage of them. But again, like it's what Jesus promises us. It's what God's word tells us. And we see in Ephesians 5 and then Revelation 19, we see that the church is Christ's body and it's his bride, of which he's the groom and the head. And so I think I mentioned in my article, it's kind of like, would you ever attend a wedding without the bride, where you just have the wedding with the groom? Or would you ever have this body or really this head that you're talking to, Jesus, but you don't have his body? No, that'd be weird. You'd never talk to a guy with a head but without a body. That'd be weird. That would be, you might even say, unhealthy. And so, and Jesus recognizes that. He tells us that. He says it's unhealthy to forsake the meeting of the saints. It's unhealthy to do that. And so, to the student who's wondering, can I get my Christian literature? Can I get my discipleship via means of the interweb, via means of these sermons? I would say that's a great start. Listening to these sermons, maybe reading these books, are listening to these podcasts, watching these clips. These are great ways that, you know, many years ago, or even in recent years, we didn't have the opportunity to. So I'd say take advantage, but also don't miss Jesus's warnings. Don't miss what's ultimately for our good, his glory and our good. And that's the local church. So I'm sure that anyone, or that many people in your local church, whoever it is, college student, if you're struggling with getting a ride to church, I try to do your best to get a ride to church, pester people. That's what I had to do my freshman year in terms of if pestering people. Hey, would you like to go to church with me? I'm sure there is someone around you who would be more than happy to give you a ride to church. We want to do our best. If we want to follow Jesus, we want to care about what he cares about. It's not like, for example, you know, if one of my friends or my parents likes, you know, or doesn't like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, which I love chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. And if one of my friends or my, you know, my parents or someone I'm close to doesn't like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, like I'm going to be fine. We're still friends. Maybe I'll be a little hurt, but we're still friends. I can care about what they care about without them liking chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. Well, it's not the same with Jesus. Because Jesus is the only perfect man who ever walked on the universe. So if we're going to care about what he cares about, we're going to have to love what he loves. And he loves his church. He loves the body. He loves his bride. And he loves the church. So we should heed that advice well in terms of going to church and not just streaming online.
So what advice do you have for Christian students who are just going to start their first year at college this fall? Besides, like you said, that first Sunday is important, get yourself to church. But what's some other advice that you have for them? Especially maybe there are some students who are like, yay, finally, I don't have to go to church every Sunday.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, other than the first Sunday, making it a rhythm. I would say, yeah, like we said earlier, get involved in the college ministry. That's what a great way to be around people that are your age, to make friends, especially that freshman year, the first semester freshman year, join a college ministry, get involved in all these things, but then get involved in the local church and figure out a way you might be able to serve your local congregation. I would say, yeah, the church, the college ministry, and then as we mentioned, that quiet time just between you and Jesus. Again, it's not the church. It can't replace the sacraments. It can't replace being held accountable by an elder or getting to be discipled by an older man or woman and discipling a younger girl, younger boy. But it is very important to have this quiet time, to have this this time where we're requesting these different requests to God. We're confessing our sin. We're reading through scripture, and maybe that's with one another. Maybe that's a small group. One of the things I think my college does really well is we don't have too many campus ministries at this Christian college, but we have these things called discipleship small groups. And we just have anywhere from 3 to 6, 7 people. And we just read through scripture together and take prayer requests. And it's simple. It's not too long. If you miss a week, no worries at all. But it's a great means of Christian discipleship, of loving one another, of studying the word together, of asking people, how can I pray for you? Of kind of getting beyond ourselves and focusing on others and ultimately on Christ.
Well, you've been a good apologist for the church, for sure. And I just want to ask you why you love the church. What do you mean when you're asking us to consider loving the church? What does that mean?
Sure. Yeah, I see I see Jesus's commands to do so. That's biblical. It's a command that we're given, but at the same time, in my own life, you know, the church has been somewhere where I can lean on. It's been the church has been a great countenance to me. It's been as I was sharing the story about our pastor of being, you know, he was serving every week and being, you know, laboring for the gospel and proclaiming all these sermons. But even he was weary and he needed the encouragement of the people around him. So I'd say even in my own life, you know, not every Sunday I'm perfectly awake and I'm just sprinting into church asking how can I help. But those around me encourage me, and I've never I've never come from a Sunday where I went, oh man, I really regret going to church that Sunday. So I think just being in the local body, I love the church because Jesus loves the church, and I love the church because the people in the church, Jesus's people, Christians, believers, have loved me really well. They've taught me. I've been a part of two churches, one where I'm at in college and one where I grew up and where my parents met. And both congregations have loved me ever since I was very young. They taught me the word. People have taken me out to lunch. People have done all these things for me. So why can't I love the church? And I think the church has been my primary means of discipleship, and I encourage others for others to seek that it might be their primary means of discipleship as well.
Well, finally, on a much lighter note, I have some fun rapid fire questions for Luke that we ask all of our writers, especially this is your first time on. So I'll ask you our first time questions. And that is, what is your favorite meal?
Ooh, a burger and sweet potato fries.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'm probably more of a night owl.
And are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an extrovert.
Well, that's good for loving church, for sure. I'm sure extroverts enjoy church a lot. Well, thanks, Luke, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to episode 351 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was college student Luke Engstrom, who has written an article for our Postmodern Realities column for the last print issue of the Christian Research Journal. And you can read his article in this last print issue for your partnering gift, which you can make at our website, equip.org. Stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and all the new content we have coming your way. The best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. There you will find thousands of free resources right at your fingertips, from articles to video to audio. And it's all for free. You'll find our podcasts hosted there, as well as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which is hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and streams live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to Hank Unplugged, which is the podcast of Hank Hanegraaff. And in that podcast, he has really in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people. And in addition, he has a new series on his podcast feed called Hank Unplugged Shorts, which Hank goes into the headlines in the mainstream media and refutes a lot of those cultural issues that we have in these short podcast episodes. And there's quite a few of them. You don't want to miss out on them. Now, if you want to find some of this at other places where it's all in one place, really subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a great way to get all of our content there, our podcasts there, and different individual questions theologically that people have that Hank answers at our YouTube channel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to subscribe to YouTube. I don't have a YouTube account. Well, actually, you might just have a YouTube account. If you have a Gmail address, you have a YouTube account. Just log into YouTube with your Gmail address and search for Bible Answer Man channel, and please become one of our subscribers. In addition, if you see that bell icon right there on our front page, please click that. And every time that we have new content, you will receive a notification that new content is up on our channel for you to be able to consume. So thank you so much for the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute. We are grateful for you listening and reading and watching.